and welcome to the MMQB Monday Morning NFL Podcast. I'm Gary Grambling.
I'm Jenny Brentis.
I'm Connor Orr.
And we are going to have a little game a little bit later in the show, Jordan Love related. I mean, if that doesn't get you sticking around, I don't know what will. We're also going to have a discussion about some of the vaccination rate talk going around the league right now and some of the consequences of it, and basically why it is unfolding the way it is in certain franchises. But we are starting with part seven of our 12,000-part series on Aaron Rodgers and his holdout in Green Bay. And, I mean, look, this was not unexpected. It was not a huge development this week that he didn't show up to OTAs, but I guess in a way, it just kind of made it a little more real.
Yeah, I still don't really understand, and I don't think anybody, well, and correct me if I'm wrong, we still don't really understand what he wants, right? Like, because every time that you're seeing a piece of information filter out, it's like, well, he still loves his teammates, he still loves the fans, he still loves basically everything except for Brian Gutekunst, the general manager. And so what are you hoping happens? Like, do you need the Packers to fire Brian Gutekunst in order for you to walk across that threshold? And do you think that you're going to be able to scare him to the point where, you know, are you really going to make him think that you're willing to sit out your, what, age 37 season at the end of your athletic prime and squander what could be one of the last great years of your career just because you don't like the general manager, who if you try hard enough, you probably don't have to see for an entire season if you don't want to?
Yeah, and Mark Murphy in a Q&A on the Packers website made clear that he stands firmly behind Brian Gutekunst, that he has great confidence in him, that he's the right person to continue building the roster moving forward. So it doesn't seem like the Packers are moving on that front. So to your point, Connor, okay, so if that's not negotiable, then what else is? Is it just the contract? Is there something else that he needs? What can repair things from this point on? Obviously, he has the support from his teammates. You know, Davante Adams came out with a pretty strong statement for Rodgers while he's away. And I would like to add that I don't know if you guys happen to follow the fantastic gossip account on Instagram called De Moi. And it's generally celeb gossip, but there is some crossover with athletes at times, and especially because Aaron Rodgers is engaged to Shailene Woodley. Dumois reported that they have bought homes in not only Hawaii, but also Colorado. Just wanted to throw that out there and give a little nod to this fantastic Instagram page.
Nice little pop for Dumois.
Yeah.
It is.
Wow.
It is. Yeah, I guess that's the one thing that kind of holds me up is this whole thought that he wants to go play on the West Coast because it's, you know, closer to Hollywood, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. If you're Aaron Rodgers, like, you can travel the country as freely as you'd like. I mean, you can take your private jet out to Los Angeles, and I guess it's a slight hassle because it takes you 3 or 4 hours to get out there, but it's not like one of us saying, you know, wherever we work is where we are. We are going to be in our basement in that town or city, and that is our life. But he can be a little more mobile, and especially during the offseason, as we saw last year. I mean, he and Matt LaFleur can get this thing ironed out over Zoom calls like they did a year ago before his MVP season.
Yeah, it's not like Aaron is like fumbling through the Milwaukee airport trying to get like a bag of combos at the CNBC store. It's not like, you know, he has a private jet. There's somebody that'll pick him up. If he gets the Jeopardy job, I'm sure that they can arrange for all this sort of, you know, corporate travel extravaganza. And to me, that is the weakness in his case, and has been all along, right? Is, okay, what are you going to do about it if we don't fire the general manager? Like, what's your plan? Is to go host Jeopardy? That's fine. So that's 40 of your next 365 days are accounted for, and that's 10 of the $40 million that you're making accounted for. What else are you doing with that time? You know, are you going to just keep going on Pat McAfee's podcast and giving us the middle finger week after week? Okay, I mean, if that's their plan, then that's your plan. But otherwise, I don't really see a whole lot of ammunition there. And what's interesting to me is I've almost kind of viewed it a little bit as cutting off your nose to spite your face, right? Because regardless, and I'm not saying Jordan Love is replacing him at any point in time, but Jordan Love is getting all the reps, so he's becoming a better quarterback. He's closing the monumental gap between the two to the point where, you know, I think that you could probably get to the point where you could win with Jordan Love. Like, you could be like a 10-win team. That roster, I think, is that good. And you're just allowing that to happen. You're allowing him to develop a relationship with Amari Rodgers, who's the highest drafted receiver the Packers have had in 6 years. So I don't understand a lot of this. Like, you know, players have the right to stay away from voluntary workouts. I'm not saying that they need to be there, but if you're Aaron Rodgers and your point is, wait till you see what happens without me, you're kind of allowing without me to become a lot more attractive.
I think we haven't reached the inflection point yet. Minicamp wasn't going to be it. He wasn't expected to be there at any point. So now as we go into this break, right, the summer break for the NFL, then we get to the start of training camp and the start of the regular season. And those are the points when we see how far Rodgers is willing to push his leverage. And his leverage is withholding his services as the reigning MVP. So does he not report to training camp? Is there efforts between the sides to get him to report to training camp? Or does it become a thing during camp and he's trying to report to the regular season? I guess now we see how far he's willing to push it, and now we see what his demands will be. Is there an ultimatum he gives the team, and what is it?
Yeah, I guess that's what we're all having trouble envisioning, is exactly what it looks like when this gets resolved. Like, the GM's not going away, so there has to be some sort of show of submission from the front office, and if that's a contract, that sort of definitively locks him in for 3 or 4 years. I think that's something that could probably be a resolution on this. And I don't know if there's something beyond that. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if Brian Gutekunst needs to, like, read essentially like a hostage note in front of his Zoom call or something to the media to get this resolved. But they're just, and look, I don't know, maybe we're all being blind to this. Maybe we're all too used to the way things worked for decades in the NFL, and we just can't envision Aaron Rodgers going elsewhere. Maybe that is the answer. Maybe he just, maybe he's going to retire if he is not traded and leave some money on the table and go live his life.
I'm rooting for that. I just don't think that a guy who is so maniacally competitive that, I mean, do you remember like the 60 Minutes thing like 8 years ago when he freaked out on someone for calling him like a little bit shorter than expected? You know,
no.
I mean, this guy ticks in a way that is, you know, of probably on the same wavelength as the great competitors of our time, Michael Jordan and, you know, Kobe Bryant and all these people. But at the same time, do we, and I, you know, I'm more than happy to be surprised that this is the case, but do we really think that that kind of person that rages at every slight is going to sit out a season and allow football to take place without him? I just think that that is far beyond anything that I expected. And believe me, I'm hoping for it, because I think that players need to get used to life after football as soon as humanly possible, used to not being able to go out there and every good thing that you do applauded by 80,000 people. There's another side of life to that. And if you're willing to sprint in that direction, God bless. I'm very happy for that. I just don't see it happening where I don't think he's ready to walk off into the sunset just yet.
I think it's especially hard to imagine, because part of the slight that he has felt from the Packers is the idea that they drafted another quarterback in the first round, moved up to get him while Rodgers was in his mid-30s. And in his mind, it's, well, what, you think I'm nearing the back end of my career? No, I'm another Tom Brady, right? So I think it's especially hard to see him walking away now when that has been his motivation to show that he can continue to play at a high level for many years. Now, maybe there has been a big shift. The last year has brought about a lot of life shifts in people as we have been forced to live life in a different way during the pandemic. So maybe it is possible that there was some major shift in his priorities or his mindset. But I agree, Connor, it is very hard to imagine him doing that. What is more likely, I suppose, if he were to be away from the Packers this year, would be that he would then hope to resume his career somewhere else. But all of this is just the different scenarios that sorting through. It's just really hard to game out at this point in time.
So the guy kind of looming in the background of all of this continues to be Jordan Love, the first round pick in 2020. We know that whole backstory at this point, but for a second straight year, there are sort of rumblings that he is struggling in these sort of, you know, basically behind the scenes scenarios where he's trying to prepare to become an NFL quarterback. And the latest is Dan Orlovsky, ESPN analyst, my neighbor out here in Connecticut, has said he is, quote, alarmed about what he's hearing about Jordan Love and his struggles in OTAs. So if there's one thing I've learned about you guys over the last couple of weeks of doing the show with you is you guys enjoy fun things. And with that in mind, I thought I'd put together a little quiz show, a little game show for us to run through today. I am going to read you, in light of this Jordan Love news that he is struggling in OTAs, I'm going to read you four blind items about quarterbacks who struggled at some point early in their career. These are news stories from newspapers or internet. They have the internet. They write about football there. And we'll see if you guys can guess. I will keep score, and we will crown a winner at the end. And,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to oversell it. If you like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on NPR, you will probably maybe tolerate this segment right here.
Now, let me ask before we start, how far back are we talking? What time frame?
2 decades.
Okay. Okay.
It's not like this mouthy quarterback from Alabama, Terry Bradshaw? Yeah, no, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I just needed to get a little bearings here, so. But,
2 decades. All right, so that is 2000. Okay, 2001.
Oh, man, what they said about slinging Sammy Ball. So this goes back to basically Brady era. Let's call it Brady era. Brady's not in here, by the way. I shouldn't have given you that hint, but he's not in here because I couldn't find anyone saying anything mean about him when he was a young quarterback.
Probably because people didn't pay attention to him until he started, right?
Yeah. No, he was, everything about him in like his early training camps were like, oh, the sixth rounder is impressing. He might make this roster. Could he be stashed on the practice squad? Stuff like that. But no one was like, this guy's terrible.
Right. Okay. Yeah. This is going to be interesting. I predict that I'm going to go 0-4, Gary. I have low expectations.
This is, so we'll, we flipped a coin backstage before the show, and Jenny gets to guess first on number one, and then Connor.
Please
gets
let
first
one of
on
these
two.
Be Jenny as a Jets beat writer ripping Mark Sanchez.
Oh wow, I didn't even consider that possibility.
I didn't either. Now I have to next time we do this. Ah, all right.
Anywho,
number one. And by the way, I'm going to throw in blanks at this person's name. This was a column written about this player during his third season. Blank was awful. It may have been the worst performance of his career. I haven't been an advocate of relieving him with a veteran backup. If there ever was going to be a time, last night was it, but the head coach didn't consider it. He should have. The play of Blank is starting to come into serious question. He now has one win in his last 11 starts, 3 in his last 16. He has trouble throwing the ball straight, and that's not good. Jenny, who is this young quarterback?
All right. Because of the tone of the column, it sounds a lot like John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, so I'm going to go with David Carr.
Ooh.
Connor, you can also agree if you want.
Well, one win over 11 starts sort of narrows it down, right? Because I was going to say, with Jenny, the tone was either McClain or the only people who write like that that aren't in Houston are either in Philadelphia or New York, right? So that would lead me to say it's either Carr, it's Eli Manning, or it is... Well, Donovan McNabb's outside of the... He's outside of our parameters here, correct?
Yeah, he is.
Donovan McNabb's outside of our parameters here, so... I'm gonna, for sports sake, I'm going to go Eli Manning. Give me Eli Manning. Final answer.
The answer is Drew Brees.
Oh,
San wow. Diego media coming after Drew Brees.
Okay, that's really surprising. Wow.
So I'm going to give Jenny gets a point and a half for being closer geographically. And
is that how this works?
Honored wow. to get 3/4 of a point.
All right.
There we go. All right.
I was just hoping it was Eli Manning, let's be honest.
Well, there's still 3 to go here. Clip.
Who wrote that, by the way?
Oh, I didn't necessarily want to call anyone out, which is what I'll say, because otherwise I'll have to admit that I closed the window and I'm just
okay,
too lazy
that's fine.
To bring it back up.
That's fine.
It was a San Diego Union Tribune, though. It was not Kevin Acey. That's all I know.
Okay.
All right. Clip number 2. This is from this quarterback's second year, and this is a training camp report. Blank is making mistakes at an alarming clip. Context is important, but let's not explain away his mistakes. Yes, it's only training camp. He should be just fine so long as he learns from these early mistakes, but there's more context. Blank has thrown 7 interceptions in 6 days of practices. He's thrown 6 of those interceptions in the 3 padded contact practices, which are more meaningful. Connor, who is this young quarterback?
Certainly not Tim Tebow, because Tim Tebow always performs well in practice. Let me think here. So here's another thing that, to me, you have to narrow it down, because for a long time, New York writers, Philadelphia writers, were picked on for doing practice stats back before that was like a thing, you know, like a thing that all beat writers do now, where they chart the quarterbacks during training camp. So this quarterback is making mistakes at an alarming rate. All right. I don't think you would go back to San Diego, so I don't think it's Philip Rivers. Well, Pittsburgh is too fawning of a market, so I don't think it can be Ben Roethlisberger. Let's go Pittsburgh. Let's go Ben Roethlisberger, with the caveat that they're too fawning of a market, so I don't know if they would actually write something like that about him.
Jenny?
All right, I'm going to go with Eli Manning. I think that the 3 padded practices indicates that this was a report from the 2000s, because after the new CBA, there would not be 3 padded practices, or after the 2010 CBA, there would not be 3 padded practices. Excuse me, 2011 CBA. So I'm going to pick someone from the 2000s. Seems like it could be the New York market. Eli is going into his first full season as a starter. There are some concerns, but also some optimism.
The answer is Patrick Mahomes.
Oh!
3 padded practices?
Yeah, according to this.
Wow.
Oh, wait, maybe not in a single day. Wow, I really misheard that. I really misheard that. Yeah. I was hearkening back to
slight misconception, and that's why you're losing 5 points on that question, Jenny.
Dang.
And by the way, really I just want to say, I really appreciate the game show pontificating you guys are doing throughout this whole process. And Connor, I'll give you 8 points. How about
for
that?
Banging Pittsburgh. How about that?
There was a time though when there were 3 practices in a single day. And it may have been before the 2000s, but boy did I mishear that clue.
Well, that's why you're sitting at -3.5 points now, I think. I've already lost track of the points I've given out, but I believe it's Connor 8.75, Jenny -3.5 going
into. Yeah, all right.
I guess this is halftime, so take a moment to gather yourself before we get to clue 3. I do think clue 3 is the easiest of the batch.
Oh, boy.
So I don't want to, I don't want to build up your confidence only to tear it down, but this will be Jenny's first guess on this one. And I guess next time we do this, we'll have to go into the Family Feud style soundproof booth with the other person and then bring them out for the second one. All right.
You could have Jenny leave the guess in the chat of the Zoom and I won't look at it then lock it in, and then I can say it out loud and then we can bring it up that way.
That would have been much better. Should we start doing that now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Because this one's easy, but I have a feeling I'm not going to get it. So
that was a really good idea. I'm giving you another quarter point for that, Connor. So you're up to 9.
Wow.
So Jenny, contribute to the production of the show, and maybe you can get back on the plus side here. All right. Clue number 3. Jenny is going first here. This is a rookie quarterback in training camp. Ideally, a team's first-round pick blows away the coaching staff and takes the starting job. That hasn't been the case. In fact, Blank continues to work with the third-team offense. He has his flaws, and they were well-known before his selection. He has all the requisite physical tools to be a top-end NFL starter, yet he struggles with accuracy. As a result, the signal caller became a target of social media shaming after woefully missing a wide-open running back out of the backfield. Jenny goes first.
All right. Well, I'm trying to think of a quarterback that has had a lot of social media shaming in the last few years, because that would be when social media shaming would be at its peak. I'm trying to think of a first-round quarterback in that time span. Also trying to recall depth charts to think of who was working with a third-team offense, but I'll just go with Lamar Jackson.
That was my thought as well. That was an excellent guess. I'm going Lamar Jackson as well. Social media shaming was the big clue for me. Although, I do remember not woefully missing a running back, but woefully missing. Remember, for some reason, one training camp report I'll never forget was EJ Manuel throwing a ball into the hospitality
tent. Oh yes, that is a great call.
And so at first my mind kind of went there, because I was like, well, if they were yelling him for that, you know, maybe the theme of that summer in Buffalo was what other things is he missing and throwing and, you know, all that stuff. And so I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson, one with my 1B guess being Blake Bortles, but I think it's Lamar Jackson.
Right draft class and right city with EJ Manuel. That was Josh Allen.
Oh,
Josh Allen,
right.
Definitely sitting behind AJ McCarron. Definitely behind AJ McCarron at that
wow.
Training camp, and I don't remember who else was on that depth chart at that. Oh, that Nathan Peterman probably.
Oh wow, oh. Yeah. All right, Gary.
That's true. Who would have? Who Lamar Jackson would have only been behind Flacco, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. Yeah. I thought Wentz was third on the depth chart at 1.2, but.
Robert Griffin. Right. He would have been behind Bradford and Chase Daniel.
Mm-hmm. So I did consider Wentz.
That was good. I thought, because I don't remember that social media shaming for missing the running back. The big one with Allen was the Senior Bowl where he misses the net after Baker Mayfield throws into the net, which was what everyone got all up in arms about. But Josh Allen. Josh Allen is the answer to number 3. Jenny picks up... let's say 2.5 points for being brave enough to come up with their own answer there. And Connor, you'll stay at 10. So it's 10-1 right now.
Wow. Wow.
Connor this continues to
really
lead.
Still plenty of ball game left.
Okay.
Jenny can go to Final Jeopardy if it ends right now.
All right. Wow.
All right. Clue number 4, Connor will go first. This is a quarterback. This is during his rookie season. This is a regular season, a report on him. On Tuesday, the first day that the majority of practice was open to reporters in more than a month, Blank looked awful. If one day was any indication, he hasn't been improving a bit. He has limitations physically that just won't go away. Quote, what you see is what you get. He doesn't have more great potential that doesn't show, says a Hall of Fame coach interviewed for this story. He's part of a system and had a real outstanding coach in college and all that. I don't know where it's going to take him. Or, that was end quote, or as one longtime quarterbacks coach in the NFL said, quote, he doesn't demonstrate as a first rounder the genetic ability to do something extraordinary. The fear is he'll just plateau right at this kind of average level. And one more quote, this is from a personnel director. He looked terrible this summer, there's no doubt about it. People were talking about benching the starter, and I'm like, that's just crazy talk. My gosh, Blank looked so bad. If he can't pick it up and go against the speed of guys in practice, there's no way he could do it in games. Connor Orr, who is this young quarterback?
This is a brutal, like, this must have been a national column, right? This felt like a national report on this guy. Like,
I'll tell you afterward.
Okay. Let's see here. It was the first time that, so it was a Tuesday, and it was the first time that practice was open to reporters in more than a month. I don't know why that sticks out to me, but why would that be, right? So this would have been after the bye week, maybe, but that wouldn't be more than a month, right? So is it, it's was there a time when media access rules were such that a reporter could go a month during the season without seeing a Tuesday practice? So that leads me to believe it might be back in the day a little bit, mocking the physical gifts, to me signals lumbering white dude. And that kind of narrows it down. Let me see. You know, for me, between like Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, he would have had to have a great coach in college. That's the other thing, too. That's the big clue. So did this guy come from, you know, is it Drew Brees again? Because he came from Purdue with Joe Tiller. Is it, oh gosh, who had a great coach in college? Because some of these guys are coming from weird places. I guess big nod to Mark Whipple. Ben Roethlisberger, Miami of Ohio. The physical gifts thing and the fact that it was like 2004, maybe these guys weren't at practice as often. I'm at a loss here. But they did okay his first year. I'm just going to go with Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know. The physical gifts thing has me shook. So
you said it was his first year as a starter, Gary?
His first year in the league.
First year in the league.
Yeah, okay. He was. The last quote was, I can tell you, he was a backup at that point. The last quote was, he looked terrible this summer. There's no doubt about it. People were talking about benching the starter, and I'm like, that's crazy talk. My gosh, blank looks so bad. If he can't pick it up and go against the speed of guys in practice, there's no way he could do it in games.
I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield.
It is Aaron Rodgers.
Ah, I was going to say Rodgers because I thought you might do it. All right. But the college coach thing, I mean.
Everyone loved
Jeff Tedford.
Everyone loved Jeff Tedford back then, right? Because he had Kyle Bowler. He had, who else did he have? Dilfer was a Tedford guy. Was that it?
Yeah. Was that former boss Peter King?
It wasn't, but I will give you a bonus that is based on a Peter tweet. The Hall of Fame coach who gave this quote about Aaron Rodgers, what you see is what you get. He doesn't have more great potential that doesn't show. He's part of a system and a real outstanding college coach and all that. I don't know where it's going to take him. Because this guy popped up a couple of times with Rodgers quotes, and it was like, wow, he was really down on Aaron Rodgers.
Andrew Brandt. Just kidding. I would say it's Jimmy Johnson, maybe.
Jenny, do you want to weigh in?
Nah, I don't have a good guess there.
It was Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh was totally down there.
Whoa, we really, Connor, you and I really, really mucked this one up, huh?
Do we have one more?
You know what?
I think that was it.
We're going to, Connor, you lost 4 points on that last round for, I don't know, bring up Mark Whipple?
Mark Whipple!
I'm really mad at myself. I was going to say Rodgers because I was like, Gary is going to bring this back around and compare the criticism to Jordan Love to Rodgers. And then I got a little drawn in by the college coach thing. And so that's kind of why I was leaning Mayfield. Also, the lack of, you know, the height would play into the physical gifts. But I guess people say that Rodgers, you know, isn't super tall either. I don't know.
Forgot. The system. Baker Mayfield was a good guess because system was thrown around a lot for him, too.
I'm mad at myself. I should have gone with my gut.
Baker Mayfield matches this vaguely. So Jenny gets credit for that, and she gets an extra point for quitting while she was ahead at the end. So Connor falls to six. Jenny picks up 3 points in the last round. Connor still hangs on for the win, 6-4. So that's
how you scored that you scored here. This, despite the fact that none of us got any of the answers right.
But sad state of affairs.
But it was the drama that sort of played into it. Yeah, I didn't look. I just went around and looked at what people were saying about good quarterbacks when they were young, and this isn't necessarily to say, I mean, if Jordan Love is playing really well, that would be better. That would be a better thing. You'd rather be good right now than not good right now. But the whole sort of, I don't know, the whole shaming of Jordan Love, who, by the way, didn't have a training camp last year for anyone to really see, and, you know, hasn't really had to prove anything at this point, is just getting a little bit out of hand at this point. But I guess that's vaguely my point to this.
Hot take on this, Gary, though, yeah. I have to say.
Oh. Please.
Okay. I do think there are I do think there are observations that are somewhat meaningful that you can draw on a quarterback from an OTA practice. And I think accuracy is one of those, because accuracy shows up in a lot of different ways. And in an OTA practice, you're not really under pressure. I mean, there may be somebody coming towards you, but you're wearing a red jersey. They're not going to take you down to the ground. If you have accuracy issues that show up in an off-season practice, then I think there is a concern there. And I say this because I remember watching Jimmy Garoppolo with the 49ers, and it was after he had, you know, it was the summer after he had been traded and he'd had the hot start. And obviously that season got stunted with the ACL injury. But I remember he was throwing high the whole practice. And I thought that that indicated that maybe there were some things off with his mechanics. Maybe he hadn't been paying the same degree of attention that he once did, or maybe he made some changes, or whatever the case may be. So I do think with a quarterback, you can draw some conclusions. Now, I think a lot of positions, absolutely not. If you're not in pads, there's nothing meaningful that can be drawn. But I do think there's something to, I don't know. Obviously, the point of this exercise is that these were all great players and that this one snapshot didn't mean anything. But if you have a trend that shows up over multiple practice, I do think there is a worthwhile observation that can be made.
Just because Jimmy Garoppolo is still throwing high 3 years later, his ball placement has been a problem ever since then.
I mean, I'm just saying, yeah. Gary, you know, maybe there was something to that observation that day. It doesn't always turn out that way. And I think that's the problem, is that for every observation that turns out to be meaningful, there are many more that are meaningless. But it's the only window of access that you really get. And so if you're there as a beat reporter, you have a responsibility to report on what you're seeing. You don't necessarily have to draw large sweeping conclusions, but, you know, I do think there is a, it's a part of your job to share your observations that day.
Bad job by Bill Walsh. I still can't get over that.
That is stunning.
He was, I should track down this Peter tweet. There was a, Peter had tweeted out that Bill Walsh told him, and this appeared in stories around the time as well. He would not have taken either Alex Smith or Aaron Rodgers first overall if he was the 49ers. He would have taken someone else and then taken Brian Greasy in round two, because Greasy had the tools to be special. But sometimes Bill Walsh gets it wrong too, and that's a lesson for life or something. And that's what this game was all about. Teach you life lessons.
It was essentially just Connor guessing his least favorite quarterbacks and hoping that somebody wrote something mean about them.
You know, I am a person who always does poorly with these kinds of games, because there's just like, it's always been, my sister has always said there's like gaps in my knowledge. So I'll just like forget something very obvious in space and then I look incredibly silly. But I'm glad, Connor, that you and I looked equally silly today. Thank you for sharing the pain.
Next time we do this, I will play, and maybe Shelby will read the clues, or maybe Jenny will read the clues if you'd like to transition to game show host and throw your talents there. But
some people practice meditation for years in order to attain gaps in knowledge, Jenny. So the fact that we already have it is a good thing.
All right. No, this was a fun exercise, Gary. Point taken. Even, despite the fact that I then tried to make a counterpoint that was largely flawed, point taken from your exercise.
I think we can all agree that this is something we did, and now it is over.
Amen.
All right, so one of the other big headlines around the league right now, and there are going to be consequences for this. Some teams' vaccination rates remain low, and for a number of reasons. And there are, you know, aside from sort of the ability to fully participate in society that that it allows us, there are going to be specific hurdles that unvaccinated players have to cross should they choose to not get vaccinated this season, when it comes to travel, when it comes to getting tested daily, when it comes to wearing masks around the facility, when it comes to using the weight room. There are basically going to be consequences for not being vaccinated. We had, among other players, Sam Darnold had sort of said he is looking to gather more information, didn't want to get into it. Montez Sweat of the Washington Football Team, they had brought in a infectious disease expert to talk to them about why they should consider vaccination and things like that, and he did not take well to that, and it sounds like he's not particularly interested in getting the vaccine. But we've arrived at a point where I guess everyone feels like we're sort of stepping out of this pandemic any moment now, but there are, you know, we're not in the clear, and that is, you know, again, it plays a larger role in society, but it's going to specifically play a role with how these NFL teams operate.
Yeah, and I think the frustrating part of some of the comments that have been made over the last week is what information would convince people, right? Mm-hmm. And you have professional athletes who are in a setting where they are highly incentivized to get the vaccine. I mean, we all are in a way to be able to return to normal lives and things like that. But for them to not have to have their team be in the more intensive protocols and to not have the potential to miss practices or games, even just for an exposure and things like that. If your team gets to a certain level, then the team is in a better position. It's more enjoyable season that you'll play. You get some advantages, and yet players are still disinclined to get the vaccine. And the expert that Ron Rivera had come talk to the Washington Football Team is one of the leading immunologists. Kizmekia Corbett was central in developing the Moderna mRNA vaccine. I know that's the one that Connor got. I think Gary and I both got Pfizer, but she was central to developing that vaccine. And so for players to say they're gathering information, they need more information, who better to give you that information than the immunologist your head coach brought into the team who helped develop one of the vaccines that is helping us all return to normal life? So I don't understand this idea that I don't have enough information or I'm still gathering it on my own. It's more of a resistance to the people who are bringing information, and I guess a resistance to what people seem to consider traditional channels. But the reality is these are the experts. These are the people you should be listening to. So I think it speaks to a question of where people are getting information and what they're trusting at this point.
If you're not getting a vaccine because of a doctor on YouTube, you have to publicly say that you're not getting a vaccine because of a doctor on YouTube or from 420 conspiracy underscore 69 pirate on Reddit. Like, you know, that if that's who you're listening to, if that's who you choose to listen to instead of an immunologist who helped develop the vaccine, good for you. But you have to say that. You don't get to say I'm doing more research, because what research is left to be done? I don't understand this. Like, you know, I need all the facts first. What are the I'm kind of at a loss right now. Like, you know, after we've gotten it, nobody, the percentages, the rates of the virus have gone down. Like, I don't understand what is left here. What's the hurdle? I don't know. I know I'm firmly in one camp, and that everybody here gets to make their choice and celebrate their freedom from vaccine if they want to. But I just think especially players who are in a position where they can be of influence, they have a reach, they have a voice, I think there's more responsibility than just to basically posit yourself as like the smug Joe Rogan guy being like, well, I'm thinking above the problem here. No, you're not. Like, there's smart people out there. There's immunologists who help develop the vaccine that can tell you what's in there. Stick a fork on your head and tell me if you're made of metal or not after this. You know, you're not magnetic, so you're fine, and you won't get any of your teammates sick. I think, and what Darnold said, another reason that Sam Darnold, he gave a reason, well, I live alone, so I'm not risking anybody. You're in the facility every day. You're around 90 other people and coaches and support staff and people with a family. You had an autoimmune condition last year that caused you to miss a lot of football. I think this was, or 2 years ago, maybe the mono thing. Man, like, what other information do you need? But that's my two cents.
That is the heart of the worrisome part of this. I mean, look, there are people, you know, especially people of color who, based on, you know, the mistreatment they've suffered at the hands of the government over the years, are a little bit wary of jumping into what is, you know, is sort of a government advocated program here for vaccination, and that's somewhat understandable. It's the guys, it's the more research guys. Like, and like you said, it's you're going to YouTube, aren't you? Like, you're you know, between BTS videos, you're seeing what pops up for vaccination advice, and that's hugely problematic. And I guess the last thing, and it sort of gets to the heart of what Darnold was unsuccessfully trying to argue is, and to be clear, like I'm a selfish person, and part of the reason I got the vaccine was because I live with an immunocompromised person, so it was important for me to get it for that reason. However, I also, like, you know, I coach soccer. I don't want to give it to any of the any of the parents of the kids on my team, or, you know, but I don't want my kids' teachers to get it. Like, it just, it's just doing something for the good of society to an extent, and the rewards just far outweigh the risks at this point. And it's just sort of disheartening that this conversation is still going on, I guess.
Yeah, and you wonder what else, you know, teams and coaches can do. That's why I thought the step that Rivera took was a really strong one. You know, they're experts, because Mikia Corbett works at the NIH, which is in Bethesda, Maryland, very close. She's also a Black scientist. And so I think it is helpful, as you mentioned, Gary, because there has been history in our country of the Black population not receiving fair medical treatment, right? So I think it was helpful. He brought in a Black scientist, a leading expert in the field, a person who was central to the development of the vaccine. So then you ask yourself, well, what more are players waiting to hear?
All right, guys. Well, hopefully this gets sorted out over the next couple of weeks here. Otherwise, it's going to be a very uncomfortable training camp for some of these guys. Quarantine, too. I mean, these guys would still have to quarantine. Unvaccinated players wouldn't have to quarantine at that point. So there are lots of reasons to go ahead and do it. It is everyone's personal choice, but yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Do you guys, by virtue of the, I remember reading the article in The Atlantic, as part of the Pfizer clan, is it like, does it feel beneath you to have me, a Moderna man, on your podcast? Or, like, is it something that you guys talk about when I'm not around?
Well,
or, you know, how does that work?
As Pfizer people, it's sort of upon us to be accepting of others. So, you know, we're kind of... We welcome you. We pity you to an extent, so we welcome you. Yeah.
Thank you. The tail I'm growing is hardly noticeable.
The MMQB Monday Morning NFL Podcast is Jenny Vrentis, Connor Orr, and me, Gary Gramling. We are produced by Shelby Royston. SI's executive producer of podcasts is Scott Brody. Mark Mravick is emeritus editor of the MMQB. Andy Benoit is the founder of the MMQB NFL Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this feed on Apple Podcasts. And once you do, please leave a rating and review because it really does help other people find the show, which is also available on Spotify, Radio.com, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.